following takes place between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. Events occur in real time.
All right, let me start with this. Used to say that line every episode in the first season. I love that line. Events occur in real time.
That was Carlos Bernard, who plays Tony Almeida. My name is John Kassar. I'm the executive producer and director on the show. And you get to listen to us talk about the first episode. This is actually a very interesting scene because it got put in pretty close to a year after we shot episode one.
We're shooting like episode 18 at this point.
Yeah. It is a nice, scary little accident. Basically what happened was, everyone got to look at it a little bit more than we usually do because we had the strike and we weren't on for a year. And in analyzing it, people thought they wanted something, somewhat of an action beginning. And so we came up with this. I think it was written at first as a home invasion. And, then I got my hands on it.
And you wrecked
and
cars.
And made it heat. And wanted to do something a little more exciting. And then adding you in it actually became sort of a twist we put in at the end. There was big arguments whether we should do it or not, but I love the idea. The argument being,
I think people knew right about in the back of the van immediately that it was me.
But that was the argument, whether people were going to be able to tell this was Tony Almeida.
From what I heard, they knew right here.
Yeah. We don't want your money, Mr. Lee. But see, I like the fact that, I'm always saying if two people are sitting on the couch, I will always want to be arguing about every scene. So
yeah, right.
I love the fact that some people be going, no, that's him.
I'm really fond going, of that no, stocking not. Cap, actually. I think I might go back to wearing that all the time.
And of course, this is we did shoot some of this in Washington this year. We were there for a couple of weeks. You were there, too. I mean, you did some work there.
Mm-hmm.
But this was all shot here in Los Angeles. An old hotel that everybody uses because I noticed that the courtroom in the Changeling was this exact courtroom.
Is that
or
right?
This exact room. Everyone makes it whatever they want, but they had a court scene and they used it also. It was the exact same room.
Kurt Smith, one of my favorite actors. I love him.
Have you worked with him
ever
before?
Ever since RoboCop. I just loved him in RoboCop.
Well, because it was definitely against type. I mean, casting against type. Yeah. You look at him, you think, come on.
Yeah, but he was fantastic in that movie.
Yeah.
And, because he was on the 70s show, we'd see him a lot at Fox functions and stuff. And I ran into him a few times on the street, and he's just a great guy and just really really great to have him on the show.
Yeah. Great work in this first scene, too. I mean, I think it looked great, too. I think Joseph and our production designer did a great job, and so did Rodney. Just beautifully lit. I mean, it has a really nice feel to it.
That information is classified.
And of course, it's the first time we see Jack since Redemption, since we saw him in Africa and he got dragged back. So this was originally the opening scene. This is how we open the year. And, back and forth conversations, and someone decided they wanted more of an action opening, so we gave them that sort of little piece at the beginning.
I think it was a good addition because this is actually, I think, more effective coming to it not in the first scene.
That definitely colors it. And we always had a problem because really then the first scene that we see Latham, the guy we kidnap, and you would be the scene where he's trying to fix the device. And you never knew how you got him. So
the first way we shot it was
it.
The garage, right? It was a video cam of the garage.
Yes. Actually, that's still
walking
there.
Into the car. Yeah. Oh, is that still in
the
episode?
Well, when she shows him, there's a picture of it. The picture that she shows Jack of you is in the garage. That's what we shot the pictures for the camera.
This is actually my first time watching this episode.
Oh, that's good. I think. Well, we did shoot it, between, I think we did some reshoots recently, and we obviously shot the beginning of it, virtually a year and a half ago. So it was probably the only episode of television ever to have two shots in it that were a year apart. Is I stopped that attack from happening by torturing Mr. Haddad. Of course, the scene is interesting because the writers have chosen to deal with the torture scene head on.
Right.
The torture controversy, actually.
Right, the use of torture in the show.
That's
yep.
right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a theme that does carry on through the whole year.
And rightly so, with you know, where everything's at with our country right now.
Yeah.
It was great that they took it on.
And you know, they've always had this, you know, amazing sense of the future of America and government, and they're constantly sort of right. They've got the pulse for sure, and this was another one of those. But you're right, Kurt Wood is fantastic.
He is. He's great.
You know, and once you're
so is this guy. Who's this guy's name? Kiefer? Is that his name? Keither? Keither?
It's a really weird name.
He's Australian, right? Isn't he?
How many more Kiefers do you know?
That's it. Thank God, that's it.
And here she is. Look at that look.
You should probably talk about the casting process with her, because that was a difficult process, right?
Yeah, we do talk about it a little bit in on episode 5. We do the commentary together on 5. But what we did talk about was the fact that it was a long process. And we, you know, there were a lot of people. You'd be amazed at the list of names that we had to play this part. We knew how difficult it was. We needed someone that was believable as an FBI agent. But, you know, still
beautiful.
Still was beautiful enough that there was a potential romantic, you know, connection with Jack. So it was tough. And we also knew, not that we had written all the scripts yet, but we knew that it was going to be a part that was going to be, you know, toe-to-toe with Kiefer virtually the whole season.
Right.
And so it was a really tough role to cast. And amazingly enough, Annie and I had worked on a pilot that Joel Surnow was also doing for Fox that... on the bright side, didn't get picked up, and she was available to do this, and she came in and knocked it out in the audition. I mean, she really did.
I like how she just walks away and doesn't even look at him.
Yeah,
he just has to follow.
Yeah, we were playing all those details right from the very beginning. It's very, very. There's a lot of care taken into her body language and the way she treats Jack, and the fact that she has to be step with that. She can't be better than him, and she can't be worse than him. She had to be as equal as I could.
Now, the exterior of this building is where? Was that in Washington?
That was all Washington, D.C., except for this. That was an inserted shot that we added because of the new action scene. We need a new explanation of what happened. So this was a reshoot once again.
Now, Janine's star on her finger, that was added later, right? That was CGI?
Yeah, we CG'd the... No, but she was actually shocked. I said to her, it's okay. Because she was like, oh, I can cover this. We'll put a ring on it and we'll do makeup. I said, no, your character...
would have that,
definitely would have that.
Yeah.
She's also got major, major tats on her arms.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You never get to see it because she's got long sleeves on, but... those might have been a little too much.
Now, I remember the first SR Reese here with his new do coming off Entourage, and that was a great choice.
And so surprising. But he's a great young actor. He really did a great job for us.
It's really
notice the blocking that he's sitting and she's standing because of the height difference is almost 3 feet, I would say. Forensics concluded that the break-ins would... And this is our introduction to Larry for the first time of the year. And you kind of know right away he's going to be the stickler.
He's so good at those roles.
He really is.
What's wonderful about him is he always sort of plays those characters that are a little bit of a schmuck, but they're always... they've always got a side that you care about.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he puts a layer of sort of honesty to these guys, as opposed to just the
and compassion.
The barking.
He's got compassion. In there. He's not your average heel.
And those are always actually very difficult roles. They really are, especially to maintain it over the duration of a year like they had to with us.
Yeah, I thought
cars.
He did a great, great job.
And here we go, the bad guys. Great graphic work by Olivier once again, which our show is absolutely filled with, all this graphic work that we have to virtually build from scratch. And now we get to meet Latham, who's named after our editor. As a lot of our characters are. John Voight's character that comes later in the series is named after Joseph Hodges, our production designer. Boy, you worked him over good.
another
John Billingsley.
Another just fine
great actor.
Yeah.
Great actor. And this was all really challenging for us. You know, the second on a television budget, you start reading airplanes and takeoffs and near misses and just right. like you right. go.
But see, this is the thing that's always been great about 24 that I'm is these small parts like these air traffic control guys totally sell the situation. Yeah. If it wasn't for them, these quote unquote day player actors that come in for a day or two and shoot and do the job that they do, the quality of work they do, we would be sunk.
I totally agree with you. And I know we take great care, you know, with our casting department, with Debbie and Peggy. We never throw those kind of, you know, oh, it's one line, who cares? It's never like that. We want the best actor we can get for that one line, especially if they're dealing with you and Kiefer and, you know, any of our leads. It's really important. Mr. Bauer. But you're right. This particular episode, I think, has got a lot of those guys in it.
It rides on them,
yeah,
really.
Totally,
you know,
rides
every
on
time
them.
You go to the air traffic control, it's their reaction to the situation that sells it.
I'll be happy to be proven wrong.
Lucky for me, I'm not here to apply for a job, Agent Moss. And personally, I don't care what makes you happy. So
there's a smartassness about him that you gotta love.
Jeff? Oh, absolutely.
Kiefer. Jack doesn't go there a lot, but when he does, it really is kind of fun.
Yeah.
You want me in the room with you?
No. And it's amazing how Annie just got a handle on this character right from day one. Which was, again, a surprise to a lot of people, because in the pilot that we did together, she was, although it had some espionage in it, the actual content of the show, she was the stay-at-home housewife.
Totally. I saw the pilot, and she was...
unbelievably different.
She was so different.
Yeah. In fact, when I suggested her...
soft and sensitive and
really,
you know,
pretty. And
kinda, so pretty and, completely different.
Absolutely no edge. I mean, just had this kind of really soft... And I remember suggesting her, and that was the problem, that people looked at her and went, what, the wife? And you're kidding
right.
me. But, you know, again, she comes in and nails the audition and becomes a complete different person.
Yeah.
This was interesting because we cut off a little piece of the end of this, because in the original script there was a potential sort of love interest. Not that Larry would, it was one-sided, basically, from Janine to Larry.
But you lost
we
it.
We cut it. It just
complicated it.
It was just too complicated.
Charges against me. I'm not exactly in a position to help you with your situation.
This was their first day. This was both of, you know, actually Kiefer's first day, I think, I believe, too, if I remember right, for season 7. And definitely her first day. I try to do that as often as I can, you know, when it's such a big introduction scene like this one, to try to do it first, just so... feels real.
Now, did this reveal at first, I can't remember, did this at first come before you actually seeing me on screen? I don't remember that.
Yeah, this was placed here. The only addition is when we put you in the action scene at the beginning.
Right.
So this would have been the first, your first scene.
No, but you already saw... Oh, no, that's right.
No,
you haven't seen
yet,
me yet.
No.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right, okay.
We see the bad guys, but we see the other guys, but we haven't seen you yet.
You know, my attention span is running right on par right now.
There was always the argument, too, right from the very beginning, as to whether we were going to keep your return a secret or not. And I actually voted to try to keep it a secret, but considering that we weren't on the air for a year and a half, we could have never, never.
I was actually fighting. I was fighting for that as well, but Fox publicity put the kibosh on that right away.
But you know what? They were right.
They were right. There's no way they could have kept
this. Well, you fail to realize on our show is that, you know, when we shoot the first one, it's so far ahead of, you know, when it airs.
Yeah.
When you shoot the last one, it's not. When you shoot the last one, it's a month. So
right.
if you have a secret in the finale, it's easy to keep because it's only a month of time that you have to keep it. When you have a secret in your very first show, you're trying to keep it for, well, most of the times it's 9 months, but in our case, it ended up being a year and a half. So
right. And also, you know, from a network standpoint, it would be virtually impossible to cut a promo of the first episode without showing
impossible. And,
that character.
And bringing you back was, you know, a play to bring the audience back, too. So we wanted to promote the fact that you were coming back. You know, your character was really loved by a lot of our audience, so we wanted people to bring, you know, to know that you were coming back, to come back and watch a show. And, you know, it was a tough one. It was a 50-50 split here at the office between writers and producers as to, you know, people thinking it was a good
idea.
And
when it came down to it, none of you had a say in it.
and I mean, even Kiefer, he admits he thought it was a bad idea, you know. But once he saw what they wrote and once the explanation happened, and I don't know, I think we did it really well. I was on the plus side. I wanted you to come back, so. But that's probably because I just wanted to hang out with you. Stupidest reason ever to bring someone
not
back
really
from the dead.
That's a good reason.
not that you minded. Well, there you go. Now we know you're there. Now, did you have an idea what you wanted to do with this? Because you knew that he wasn't going to come back like the Tony Almeida of old.
Yeah, well, I knew that I wanted him to be, you know, I've always said one of the great things about acting on the show is that the character evolves and the baggage that you amass in a prior season comes with you to the next one. And then you also have to fill in the gaps between seasons as far as what's happened to the character between each season. So I knew that between season 5 and this, there's so much that went on with him. First of all, what happened in season 5,
right,
and season 4, and that he it was a damaged human being, you know? I mean, just somebody who is not the same anymore. It's the same guy inside of there, but the trauma that he'd been through had, you know, he would never be the same.
Dude, I mean, this is really a different. I look back at some of the older shows; it's like a different person completely, and that's
and I think
what
he
you
is.
Wanted.
I think he is, but I think yeah. that the I think the other thing is that to make sure that there were opportunities to pepper it with, to make sure that guy that was in prior seasons is still in there. You can still see right. glimmers of him. It's just that the damage is just is a bit overwhelming. You know what I mean?
Also, the look, though. The look is something you really came up with. I mean, it wasn't like I came to you and said, look, this is how I want you to look. You already had that pretty well in your mind with the close-cropped hair and
well,
the
I know,
scar.
Well, I know, just from personal experience, you know, we all go through dark times, and I know with me, when I've been through dark times, I don't look the same.
So the first to go is the hair?
Well, I mean, you know.
You don't, you're right.
You don't feel the same, yeah. You don't want to look the same. There's a rebellion that
yeah,
goes on.
Absolutely.
Because life is not going your way. Yeah. So it's almost like a screw you. I'm
that's interesting.
You know, and there's a certain amount of unkemptness, you know, you're not as well groomed. You don't take care of yourself as much.
You don't care as much.
You don't care. Yeah.
But there's also, I mean, obviously.
And I also want it to be shocking. I want it to be shocking.
That I wanted to. Because we did talk about that. We wanted that first reveal for people to go, okay, I knew Tony Almeida was coming back. But not like that.
Well, yeah. What's the deal?
What's the deal?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But even your voice had a complete sort of different feel to it, you know, from what we heard before. I mean, everything about your character just was right. I
and
think
the voice is interesting because that it was not on purpose. It just came from, you know, we had the whole summer of talking with Howard about where the storyline was going right. before we started right. shooting, and there was a lot of discussion between him about what he might look like as well. And but the more I sort of dealt with what really was going on with this human being, you know, that voice just happened to be there. I mean, it's not that different from his voice from before, but it's definitely got it's affected. You know what
right.
I mean? By
it's definitely
something.
Affected.
Yeah.
Well, also less words. I mean, not that Tony was a guy that said a lot in the first place, but even less now because
right.
he's the kind of guy that just says what he has to say to get you
that's
know,
right.
get through the day.
That's right. He's got what he's trying
yeah.
to do,
yeah.
and it's all about just trying to get done what needs to be done. But I hadn't noticed it. You know, I remember during the strike, we had to sort of look at rough cuts to remind ourselves
right,
where
yes,
what
that's
had
right.
happened.
We had to.
And I was watching a rough cut, and I don't really like to watch the show very much because I'm a little too critical of myself.
Yeah.
And
especially when you're doing it, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I was watching it, and Charisse had sort of peeked in, and she was like, "Wow, your voice is what's going on?" And I'd never noticed it.
Yeah, it's interesting that you didn't notice it because it was definitely different. I mean, it was a definite. you know, character in the voice. That, like you said, everything changes with a guy like that. This, of course, is our introduction to Cherry Jones as the President of the United States with a first gentleman, which was kind of interesting. I think Cherry was a great choice. Again, Joel Surnow, you know, made the choice, virtually said her name one day, and we all kind of went...
And where did he see her? Where had he seen her?
I'm not sure whether it was Perfect Storm or Doubt. I think it might have even been Doubt on Broadway.
Oh, really? He saw the play?
I think he saw the play. Mm-hmm. Whatever it was. I mean, we all kind of knew who she was because she's one of those character actors, but I never saw her in anything of you know... with this much sort of character and this much time on the show. She usually played very small parts in movies. And so, I mean, she was even on Ocean's 12, I believe. She had a small part as Matt Damon's mother. So, you know, it was, or Ocean's 13, one of those two. So it was always small parts, so it was really hard to grasp. But we actually brought her in for a meeting. I mean, she didn't audition, obviously, but we brought her in for a meeting and just sat down and talked to her, and I think just right after that meeting, I looked at Joel. I went, "Wow, that's a great pick."
Yeah, and, we it really was a great pick.
You know, she wanted to do it. She was very excited to do it, which, you know, what she said to me later, which was, "Someone just offered me the President of the United States. Are you kidding me?" Of course, right. I'm going to take it.
Yeah, she's really fantastic and great person too.
We put an interesting band of guys around you here too. Like you were saying before, they're great guys.
Yeah, I did.
This is interesting too, because this device actually exists. Now, it's not, you know, it doesn't fit in the palm of your hand.
Right.
Like we made it, because it needs to be mobile for us so we can, you know, chase it down and hand it from person to person. But there is a firewall system in America that does what this thing does, and if you do breach it, although I'm sure it's not quite as easy as we do in the show, it can have the same effect. So it is kind of based on a reality, but then sort of tailor-made for it to fit our world.
Part of a homegrown terrorist group that's targeting our infrastructure.
He could be working undercover some kind of sting operation.
Now, what Howard had told me about this whole storyline was that they tried this storyline with a different character being the villain, not
yes,
having it be
totally exactly
animated, and he said that it was just flat. And then they had been trying to fit the character back in somewhere, and when they plugged it in there, it sort of made it go.
Yeah, it made a whole difference. That's right.
Because otherwise, what does he care?
That's right. It was much like Peter Weller's part. You know, it was like a former. We did it a few times with Kiefer, having guys be former
right.
friends. Even in Redemption,
yeah.
you had Bobby Carlyle be a former you know, workmate and Black Ops guy. And that's okay, and you can make that work, but... Suddenly, it became a whole new dimension when we threw Tony Almeida in there.
Well, it's a story that's been told many times before of two guys who used to be partners or used to work together
yeah.
that are on opposite ends. But you've never, I don't think, ever seen them first when they were together
yes,
and then
true.
When they were against each
well,
other.
Well, which is exactly, you know, in the other cases I just mentioned, you never did. You only
right.
saw them when they got back together. And the rest was some line of dialogue that said what their history was.
Right.
You're right. In this case, we have...
You lived it.
You
I mean,
lived
the fans
it.
Of the
I
show
mean,
lived
many
it.
Years of it.
Yeah.
Not even just a season worth. I mean,
yeah.
you really got to see them as a team and work together. And even when you came back in the season where we thought you were gone and you came back, I mean, that was a, you know, complete... Even that was a different Tony.
What's going on?
Northeast Air Traffic Control just called. They reported a possible intrusion into their communication systems. It's just happened.
You know, the core of our show, too, I mean, it used to be the CTU. Obviously, this year we made it at the FBI, but basically you always need, we've always needed this core, this sort of nucleus for the show to
mm-hmm.
run on, where you have all the technology, because our show has always been kind of pushing that technology, although,
right.
amazingly enough, there's not much even more we can push. Because when we first started, the things we were doing in season one didn't exist, and they all do now. I mean,
right.
And even when we were at the real CTU in Washington, it was very interesting that they said, you know, there's nothing on your show we can't do. We just can't do it as fast as you guys do it. Said, you know, when you guys get a license plate from a satellite, we can actually do that. It just takes, you know, a week. Chloe does it in
Which
like
is pretty,
an hour.
Pretty amazing.
yeah, it's
really
still amazing
it.
They can
yeah.
do it. But, you know, Chloe does it in an hour, so or less than an hour. So they said, that's really the only thing.
I think what's amazing is, you know, we were both just in London together, and, you know, there are cameras everywhere in London.
Yeah.
Everywhere, every street corner.
Well, Washington is the same thing, because I remember talking to an advisor about when Heller gets kidnapped. And he said, well, it depends where it is. If it's in Washington, first of all, most of the political people in Washington have chips in them, believe it or not. But it's total sci-fi, but it's true. And then they have such an intricate camera system in Washington that they could follow a guy, you know, a senator, for example, from his house to work, to him to go to a football game. They can virtually watch every move he makes. So, you know, again, what used to be sci-fi future in our world is becoming a reality.
Airstrikes to take out whatever defenses they've got. We can expect an open path to Juma's front door.
This is our first look, of course, of Cherry Jones with her cabinet and her military advisors.
I've gone over Secretary Stevens' post-invasion report, which I'm still waiting for.
I'll have it for you in a few minutes, ma'am.
And again, it's really interesting what happens with the writing of the show and how, you know, even in a scene like this, there's always two sides. You know, so there's Cherry taking the side she's taking, and then, of course, this gentleman representing the complete other,
right,
other side of this. So politically, we always somehow... I've been amazed how both parties have sort of taken us under their wing. Well, the fact that... Well, you know for a fact that Obama is a fan of the show because you met him before he became the president.
Right, yeah, yeah.
It was
3 years ago. I was at a National Endowment for the Arts gala, and somebody brought him up to introduce him to me. And he was his first year as a senator.
Did you know who he was?
Oh, sure.
The heat was already started.
Oh, I knew who he was, absolutely. Yeah. And he's from Chicago, so, so we hung out and talked for like 15, 20 minutes, and they brought him up because he was a fan of the show, and then after that, his book came out like a month later. I read the book and I was like, this guy is for real. and
you were right.
And you know what? He ran his campaign like he wrote, just exactly the way his book went.
You know, and of course, McCain actually came to visit us. So
yeah,
he was actually did a cameo in year six. So we had both sides. This is interesting because this is a little bit of green screen trickery here to keep this hallway. It really is only as long as you see here, but we flip the actors on both sides to make it.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So both sides, if you look at both sides, there's an actual wall right here behind Cherry.
Yeah.
But when you see the profile shot, both sides look like it goes on forever.
Yeah.
And again, you're trying to save money wherever you can, and why build a hallway double the length if you can build it, you know, one length and fake it, so... I don't know if a hallway like this actually exists in the White House. I mean, we did get to tour the White House when we were in Washington, but we never got to go on the ground. See, it looks long both ways. I think the White House is much smaller than most television movies make it.
It's pretty small.
It's pretty small. You've been there too, right? You did not on this trip, but...
Yeah, but I tell you what, I was in the Oval Office, and our Oval Office is exactly like...
Oh, that's the same. Yeah, our Oval Office is built exactly from spec, from blueprints, and the windows are where the windows are. Everything's exactly the same.
It is frighteningly the same.
Yeah, but outside is a whole, you know, whatever little offices are outside of it are different.
Right.
Everyone does their own version of that.
Yeah. No, ma'am, I didn't.
We had a bigger storyline on the airplane, too. That gentleman you just saw in the box, he had a whole storyline. He ran on the plane late, so it made it look like
he
had a bomb, possibly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're when you write a script, especially the first one, I think, every year when I do the first one, we have more of those kind of tangents that you're trying to take. And you
see if they work.
See if they work, and then you pare it down to what's the important thing. And so I'm apologizing right now to that actor for everything we cut out of his work. Do you ever watch the shows and feel like, wow, they cut scenes that I wish they didn't?
I tell you what is it's not in this episode, but the fight scene.
Yeah, the fight scene got really reduced.
What was interesting to me, though, is that the fight scene got chopped almost in half. And of course, it was all my stuff. It was all me kicking Jack's butt that got cut out. But I got to tell you, I was on the treadmill at my gym the day of the premiere, and Fox showed a commercial I'd never seen this done before. They showed the entire scene of him hunting me down and the fight, and they showed the entire fight.
Yeah, no one else saw it.
Yeah, and I thought they did cut the fight scene down. Yeah. And I go, oh my gosh, they kept the whole scene.
Yeah.
And then somebody said that the fight scene when they aired it was half, and then I watched it. Yeah. I got a copy of it, and sure enough, they cut it.
And that was just the day before too. I mean, look, we're cutting. We're making cuts all the time, obviously. And
you mean they cut that fight scene the day before?
Well, not the day before, but it was cut before that. But the publicity have footage before that, so. Yeah. It is an intricate little kind of thing that happens, but the publicity people have footage that necessarily doesn't end up in the show. The fans notice it all the time. In previews, there's certain shots and certain scenes.
They should actually put that commercial on the DVDs because it's really interesting. I've never seen that done before where they showed an entire scene on a promo.
It was unbelievable. Yeah. I remember because I saw it too. I had the same reaction.
And it was cool. It was cool. Yeah, it worked. I mean, you know.
So some people got to see the whole fight.
Right.
I'm sure it's on YouTube at this point. I don't want anyone to know where we're going. And this is Colin Feore, a Canadian actor that I've worked with many, many years ago. Chuck's taking advantage of me. Great, solid actor.
Oh, yeah.
Very hard part to A, play, and B, for us to cast.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing finding the president, and then you have to find the first gentleman, and so that became difficult. And it was a really, tough because you didn't want it to be too strong because you wanted her to do her thing. He couldn't be too weak. So, trying to find that someplace in between.
But the great thing about the story, the way the story is told, is his trying to figure out what happened to his son automatically adds that sensitivity that you would want in that character, you know.
And we got to see that in Redemption because when we actually, wrote and shot episode one, his son was just a picture on a mantle. We never actually got to meet him. It was all in the past. And in Redemption, obviously, we got to go back and meet him and start to see the setup of what, potentially happened to him.
Don't think about it, Janice. Just stay on task.
Janine is so funny. I told her, I remember the first time I hadn't met her before on set, the first time I told her, just stay away from me. Because she makes you look stupid. She's so smart that you end up looking like a complete dope next to her. So I just said, just stay away from me, right? Talk to everybody else.
She's funny, too, because, Joel wanted her, and there's no secret of Joel's politics. He's on one side of the fence, and she couldn't be further on the other side of the fence.
Right, but Joel doesn't let his politics get in the way of
He doesn't. It's pretty amazing. People think he does, but he doesn't. It really became who was good and interesting part.
In fact, I have a secret theory that he's not really a hardline right winger. I think it's all for the fun of it. I think he's all just, I think he's just toying with the entire town. He just wants to come off that way just because he likes being different.
Well, he did bring her in, and she's been a great addition.
Who is he?
He was a supplier. Tony and I used him.
We reset.
Joel's listening to this right now.
Going, who are these guys?
Shut up. You don't know what you're talking
about.
Don't
tell my secrets.
Oh, here we go. Now, this is, again,
I know. We kicked ourselves probably for the next
for
month.
Killing him, right?
For killing him.
Oh, my God. He's such a great actor. And such a great character within, I mean, literally, it's a
one-minute
scene. Yeah. And the guy is like, already, you want to see more of him.
You know, it's just one of those things that, you got to remember how fast we cast this show. People don't realize at the beginning of the year, obviously, we have a little more time to cast all these folks as leads. But then when you get into it, and the problem with the first episode, you spend so much time casting all these people because you know that they're for the whole year. Then you go, we need that guy. We need this guy. And you then quickly cast all the other parts really quickly.
Right. Yeah.
And he was just one of those ones. And I remember seeing his face. He didn't audition. I mean, we just looked at him. I went, oh, yeah, he's great. Let's bring him in. Not thinking, of course.
Right.
That, he
save
was going to die in one scene. So it was a bit depressing.
Right.
I keep thinking if somehow we can do a prequel and we can bring everybody back, all the people that we really liked, and then bring them all back.
If not that, a party.
Yeah. Well,
just
have
a big party. Forget about the prequel. Just do a party.
That's easy.
Do you remember, I don't know if you remember this, the very first season there was talk about, how could you do more of, how could you do another season of the show?
Oh, absolutely.
And I remember the idea floating around of having the same group of actors do completely different roles in a completely different story.
Like repertory theater.
But a 24-hour clock.
Yeah.
But it was like a repertory idea where everybody would come back and just play different parts Completely different show.
Yeah. Yeah, that was an idea because, you know, television, the scary thing was changing the cast because television is about comfort. You want to come back to the same show to see the same people.
Right.
And most of the time they're doing the same thing.
Right.
But there's a comfort in that. And suddenly you start changing casts like we do every single year. There was a fear that, you know, are people going to come back? So the idea was, well, let's at least give them the same actors. It'll be different roles. What do you think of that? That would have been fun.
Oh, are you kidding me?
I think it would have been great.
That.
You know, and I think what we were talking about, like air traffic controllers would be, it was an idea, like emergency doctors was another idea. All of these ideas could have worked in a 24-hour format.
Right. Well, you know, the original idea for 24 was, the original idea that they came up with for 24 that Joel and Bob talked about was the day of a wedding. 24 hours
yes,
a day of a wedding.
Absolutely.
And it was a comedy, I think.
And then actually they did it. Someone did it. Someone did that exact idea.
Oh, right.
And
right,
didn't
right.
even get past the pilot stage.
Yeah,
I think
right.
it just wasn't successful.
That's a terrible idea.
Well, the biggest problem, of course, is why would you care?
Exactly.
That's the problem. You know, and
exactly.
I remember also when I said, you know, why counterterrorism and what's the deal? And, you know, and they said, well, our biggest thing was why would people stay up for 12 hours? That was, obviously,
24 hours.
Well, you're up for 12.
Oh, right.
You know you're up for 12, but why are they up for the other 10 or 12
right.
hours? Why
right.
are they up in the middle of the night?
Right.
The crisis had to be so huge.
Yeah.
And, you know, and what is the one crisis that, you know, would keep America awake?
Now, this is one of the things about this season that I really like. You know, the first season, I know they talked about the fact that they added in Jack's daughter to give him a real personal personal stake in the story. And one of the things I think is great about this year is that it sort of goes back to that, in that there's a real personal stake that's keeping him involved.
In the game, yes.
Yeah. And that's something that we've sort of had throughout the years here and there. We have had, but somehow
it was
the first season and this season were much stronger that way.
Well, that's, you know, goes back to what you were talking about. If you have this exact same storyline, but, you know, he's after some guy we've never met before, you just don't have that connection. But the fact that what's driving him here is getting to you, you know, getting to Tony Almeida, that I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And look, it's not a secret of our formula. Jack's out and somehow we drag him back in. I mean,
right.
it's something we do almost every year.
Yeah.
But it has to be believable. And this year, I agree with you, coming back in because Tony Almeida's around, I get that. I mean, he would be totally interested.
Make sure General Wagner understands our priority is to maintain
damn, order. She's a good president.
Yeah, she's very good.
I gotta tell you, it's interesting,
he's
too. Very good actor. They're all great. What's interesting about Cherry playing, of course, the first female president is that at the time when we were shooting, Hillary was actually very good chance of
people
being the next president
win, absolutely.
Of the United States.
No, absolutely.
And not that we were trying to copy that, mind you. We were sort of, you know, we had our own course, but... Again, the writers.
They were trying to copy that.
I was just trying to protect them.
No, they were trying to. They were trying to.
They had a 50-50.
They
blew
it. Sort of omniscient thing going on.
But it was, you know, it was pretty interesting that was the case. And I think, you know, it'll be the same thing. I think what happened with David Palmer. You know, I don't think we help Obama win an election, but I think you just open the eyes of people that watch a show that, you know, is most of America, that go, well, maybe it's a possibility. I'll tell you, if we can have a president like her, I'm in.
Underestimated him. Letting him intervene was the right call.
That's some good news.
Of course, Bob Gunton, who appeared in season 6.
Yeah, he's just a...
He's just a strong
great
actor.
Great actor. I mean, Shawshank Redemption is one of my very favorite movies.
Hard not to think
just
of that.
Unbelievable.
This and here it is.
What's
so
great about this is that he's actually a good guy in this,
but you're not sure.
But you're not sure, yeah.
This is the one little piece of dialogue we shot more than a year after we shot the actual show. This little conversation here. We just tweaked it, and that's back to the original. Boy, we're good at that. Totally invisible.
It's true.
And that's got to be some kind of record. I dare any one-hour drama to say they got a shot a year apart from each other in the same episode. Features, maybe. And it's funny because Kiefer, you know, in the very first time we did this rehearsal, you know, the gentleman came to the door like this. And he did this one scene.
Jack
and
Bauer!
He looked at me, he goes, I love this guy.
Jack Bauer!
He goes, I love the way he does that, Jack Bauer. Usually Kiefer doesn't like that because he likes everything straight up, but he just said, I love the way he just did that.
Well, for the first episode,
you
know? Too.
Yeah, you need some season. Character like
it's,
that.
It's a great almost re-intro because this is the introduction of him in Jack Bauer mode.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Have a seat.
And, you know, one thing that does work for us when we get an actor of this caliber and then, you know, he dies after one scene, you don't see it coming.
No.
You know, because you look at a guy like this and think, wow, I can see that, you know, this guy's in for a few episodes for sure.
I always talk about Michael O'Neill in the second episode of the first season being killed off. And it blew my mind.
Yeah. I think it's true. It surprises a lot of people. You just don't see it coming.
And I knew, don't buy anything new.
You know, it's kind of the opposite.
Save your money, because if this guy can get killed off.
Anybody can. It's kind of the opposite of Star Trek. You know, when they had the guy in the red jersey, was it the red jersey guy that went down to the planet? You knew they took him down just because he was going to get killed.
The red jersey guy.
So we're the opposite of that, you know. We're the opposite of that. We kind of play against that. We kind of keep throwing people at you so you can't guess who's going to get it. You know, another strong scene, and very strange for us. This is like, you know, this is a bread and butter scene for, you know, Law and Order and all these other procedural shows. We have like the FBI, you know, questioning a witness like questioning, you know, a suspect. We rarely do a scene like this.
Right.
It felt strange just blocking it out. Two people sitting there talking to another guy. It was just like, wow, this is so not us. But again, we wanted this year to be a little different. I mean, that's one of the things that we started doing. Plus, this is when, you know, they're still doing everything by the rules for at least another minute.
Right.
You sure you want to play it like this?
Yeah, that's the way I want to play, Jack.
And this was important to me, too, that she was able to do this and do it well. And, you know, Annie being a dancer, she learned it really quickly. It's just choreography for her.
Yeah. My dancing training still comes in handy.
We were doing Unprovoked. The crew was doing that version of Unprovoked for the next month after that. We loved it so much. Unprovoked. And so, you know, in episode one, by the end of episode one, we really set the stakes as to what the backbone of the show is going to be. And that's going to be this relationship here between the way the FBI does it and the way Jack Bauer does it. So you realize right away that will be the ongoing argument.
It's funny because there's times when they look like they could be brother and sister, these two.
Yeah, there is a connection.
It's same really, eyes it's really and freckles. And...
There's no need for me to lose my good looks.
That's our version of 24 comedy.
Oh,
that's
man.
All out comedy for 24. Great location, too. It really did feel like Washington. All those, you know, L.A. has a small core of those old buildings from the 30s and 40s that absolutely work perfectly for Washington.
Right.
And let the games begin.
Yeah.
I like this. I like the first connection between the two of you.
This is the key. Nothing you or the FBI can do about this. As short as this is, it's a key conversation the entire season.
What the hell's going on?
Yeah, actually, looking back at it now, knowing how we end 24, come back and look at this one, folks. It's an important one. There you go, episode 1, season 7. We continue to move on.
More boxes this year, too, no?
It comes and goes. Sometimes we do more, sometimes we do less. You know, I mean, our show's always been about fear. There's nothing scarier than this. GSA 117,
descend and maintain 2,000... Well, we all take planes.
We're taking planes every day, or, you know, a lot of people do. GSA 117, he's a great actor.
Acknowledge, over.
And, you know, we built the set. It's virtually a corner of the old CTU that we found and put... If you notice, there's no wide shots.
Right.
But there doesn't need to be.
No, there's no reason for it.
It's all about these faces
about
and the
reactions,
screens. But if you look at the walls back there, that's the old CTU. And Joseph wanted to disguise them. I said, no, just leave them exactly like that. Leave it that bare concrete.
This guy's great, too. I mean, again, it's just
I love
seemingly
his
small yeah. roles, but just great reactions.
GSA 117, acknowledge.
GSA 117, this is Northeast 3.
Go ahead, air traffic control.
Advise passing 7,000, maintain 1,500.
Traffic ahead reporting minor turbulence. Should be a smooth ride for you down there.
Roger that, Northeast 3.
Understand, Northeast 3, GSA 117.
You don't look very happy here.
Get ready to make the course change. We're really taking this all the way.
This was episode 2, if I remember right.
You just needed
this was in episode 2, and then we pulled it into here.
Oh, you're right about that. Yeah.
This has been John Cassar. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy it.
Carlos Bernard, over and out.